All right, welcome. I have a shocking and disturbing interpretation of what Trump is actually doing in re-escalating war with Iran, destroying any hope of peace, and violating his own memorandum of understanding that he signed just a few days ago. In fact, this is a strategy that it looks to me like Trump will be using to invoke a national emergency and then to invoke the Stafford Act, which will unlock FEMA for nationwide operations stemming from a severe energy supply interruption. So I believe that Trump is actually doing all of this on purpose in order to invoke a national emergency declaration that concentrates power in his own hands in the run-up to the midterm elections. So welcome. I'm Mike Adams, of course. brightvideos.com, and thank you for joining me here today. You can follow my articles on this and my infographics at naturalnews.com. So let's try to unpack all of this, because there's a cobweb of federal executive orders, laws, and acts that are interwoven in all of this. Let me see if we can walk through them. So there's the National Emergencies Act. If this is declared, then this will activate all kinds of statutory powers. When it comes to energy, that would be the Energy Policy and Conservation Act, which can be triggered if there is simply a finding of an energy supply interruption. And of course, Trump is making sure that that happens. We're approaching what's been called tank bottoms domestically in the United States, because of course we as a country, we import 6.5 million barrels of oil a day, and that's obviously in short supply right now because of what's happening in the Middle East. There's also the Stafford Act, and the Stafford Act is what unlocks FEMA operations. So if there's an emergency declaration related to some kind of disaster, and that's loosely defined, then that can unlock FEMA to go nationwide to do all sorts of interesting things. And you remember how FEMA was confiscating food supplies that we were trying to get to people back, what was it, during the hurricanes a couple of years ago in Tennessee, you know, affecting Tennessee and affecting Florida and some of the Carolinas, etc. FEMA was actively interdicting supplies and was blocking people from being able to get help. That's what FEMA does. And that's clearly what they're gearing up to do as well. Now then, we get to the DPA, or the Defense Production Act of 1950. This was written into law to grant the president broad powers in wartime. That's how it was intended. Remember, this is a post-World War II era. It allowed the president or his administration to basically command any manufacturer to do anything. You know, like, you have to make only this, or you have to expand your production lines, and here you have to take this money and build up a bigger production line. This was all, again, related to World War II, but it had different titles in it, different sections, and one of the original titles, it was called Title II, allowed the president to seize all land, property, including commercial property, facilities, buildings, and all materials that were used in production, including critical minerals, including fertilizer, everything. Now, that Title II actually expired in 1953. But since then, the power of the DPA has been expanded, most notably by Barack Obama in 2012 through what's called Executive Order 13603. And this delegated the powers of the Defense Production Act to different agencies, such as the USDA, which now has power to confiscate all food resources in America. That is, if this is invoked by Trump. So this can include the confiscation at gunpoint of all livestock, all farm equipment, you know, tractors, diesel fuel for the tractors, fertilizer, seeds, anything else. This is all part of the original DPA law, plus the Obama era EO 13603. Now, Congress has then expanded the definition of national defense, which applies to the DPA. The Defense Production Act, in various sections, refers to national defense. So what is national defense? Well, Congress has continued to expand that over the decades to include energy, space activity, rockets, critical infrastructure protection, which includes, you know, computing, voting machines, right? Electrical infrastructure. And then most notably during the COVID years, that included pandemic response. So because of that evolution of the definition of, quote, national defense, now the federal government can force contracts and can confiscate almost anything it wants from almost anyone with the right declarations. It can confiscate medical supplies, munitions, you know, firearms, technically. Not, I'm not saying that they're trying to right now, but they could. They can confiscate domestic animals, you know, cattle, farm animals. They can ration critical materials. They can say, you know, no aluminum, no copper for you. They can ration diesel fuel or gasoline. And that's probably what's coming, at least the rationing of fuel. Now, this Defense Production Act has been invoked over 50 times since 1950. So if you think, oh, this is something that's just on the books that they're not going to use, that's wrong. They've used it over 50 times, again, most notably during COVID. And each time it's used, it's expanded. The reach is broadened with these expanding definitions of what is national defense. So step back for a moment and realize what Trump is trying to do here. At least in my opinion, this is what it seems like. Unless he's just completely mad, which is certainly a possibility. You know, maybe he's lost his mind and every day he wakes up, he has no memory of who he was 3 days ago, what he signed, whatever, because he does appear to, you know, contradict himself frequently. But suppose he has a plan. That plan could be to actually cause a fuel scarcity emergency, an energy supply emergency that allows him to invoke the Defense Production Act and triggers all of these other dominoes inside the federal government, including the Stafford Act and others, that eventually trigger FEMA. And then he can declare election infrastructure to be critical national security infrastructure. Actually, I think it's already been declared that one way or another. Once that happens, then Trump can say the federal government has to run the midterm elections and that we can't trust the states, especially, you know, California, which just cheats all the time anyway, obviously, and so does Illinois, you know, I mean, Denver and Seattle and Portland, whatever. We know how that goes. And I'm not saying that I want all elections to be run by the federal government alone, because it's actually the decentralization of elections that offers, you know, theoretically some level of integrity to it. Although, of course, California has destroyed that integrity and they just cheat in every single election. What I'm saying is that this appears to be Trump's plan to create a big national emergency. We've run out of diesel, we've run out of fuel, or we're near running out, we have to ration it. And then from that, begin having federal agencies move to control elections infrastructure, also to control AI. So open source AI models could be banned, and only the government approved AI models would be legal to use. And then on top of that, they can also have, you know, food rationing. So they can control the food supply, and then they can use that to force people into CBDCs, because they might be planning, you know, a dollar reset, a currency reset at the same time. You know, the more chaos that Trump can cause, the bigger reset they can get away with, and they can blame it all on, you know, Iran or China or Russia or whoever. Very easy narrative at that point. Meanwhile, the federal government can sweep through your farm and just steal everything under the law. They can just have a team show up, men with guns and rifles. Hey, we're FEMA, flashing a badge. We're taking your fuel. We're taking your tractor. We're taking your cattle. We're taking your seeds. We're taking everything. Yep. Thanks for supporting Trump, you know. And they can just walk away with all your gear. In fact, they could take your land. Ultimately, they could take your land and they could take your home. They could take everything. I'm not saying that they're going to do that nationwide. They're more likely to take things that aren't nailed down, you know, things that they can put on a truck and ship out of there, like your fuel, your tractors, your livestock, etc. And this is how, oh, and if you resist, of course, they're going to take you to a FEMA camp where you slowly, you know, disappear. Of course. So this may be what's being planned, because Trump is already, he's at the point where he probably realizes he cannot win the midterm elections if there's an honest election. And I'm not even talking about the Democrats cheating and rigging as they normally do. At this point, Trump is so unpopular, the Democrats don't even have to cheat. Trump is so unpopular that former Trump supporters are voting against him, or planning to. So the only way that Trump can stay in power, that is to keep Congress with a GOP majority, is to control the elections infrastructure and to make sure the outcome is predetermined. In order to do that, you need a big emergency. In order to have a big emergency, you need something that affects everyone, something like fuel rationing, food rationing, ongoing war, you know, big critical emergency, where they can also censor freedom of speech. They can just cite, you know, emergency powers. They can also control all civil transportation. They can block all highways. They can require permits to travel. They can control the trains, the planes, and the automobiles, and everything in between, the boats, the coastal waters, you know, everything, the ports, you name it. They can also direct the refineries to tell those refineries what they're allowed to refine. In other words, the federal government can push an emphasis for military fuels or jet fuel, if that's what they want, while minimizing things like diesel for the public sector. They can control all of this. It's all already law. Now, on top of all this, you know that, you know, the so-called peace talks have essentially fallen apart. This has been widely reported. Trump is now threatening them. Trump is claiming he's going to bomb Iran back into oblivion. Senator Lindsey Graham said, quote, "I spent 4.5 hours with the president, with President Trump on Friday. Here's what I think will happen next." He says, if this deal fails, President Trump is going to take the Strait of Hormuz over by force. We'll charge a fee for all those who go through to pay for the operation. If Iran contests control of the Strait of Hormuz by the United States, we will obliterate them. So that's Lindsey Graham's statement. It doesn't really leave much to the imagination, does it? And then Iran has apparently issued a retaliation statement, although it's not exactly clear to me from which government agency this statement comes. But here's the statement, and just make of it what you will. The Iranian delegation will not return to negotiations in Switzerland unless U.S. President Trump apologizes for his threats and Israel withdraws from southern Lebanon, the pro-Hezbollah al-Mayadeen reports. Iran's state media confirms the Iranians have left the negotiation venue. Okay. But on the U.S. side, they claim the negotiations are still continuing. So there's an obvious contradiction there. But let's go back to what Lindsey Graham said. Oh, yeah. And then Trump, of course, is claiming that he's going to maybe kill the negotiators of Iran before they can even return home if they don't reopen the strait. So that's been circulating over the weekend. But Lindsey Graham is clearly stating that Trump is going to, or intends to, take over the strait by force. That would be a massive military operation. And then that the U.S. is going to charge a toll. So after all this time of berating Iran for wanting to charge a toll, and Trump saying no tolls, no tolls ever, now, according to Senator Lindsey Graham, the U.S. wants to charge a toll. And then Trump said separately that he wants to take 20% of all the oil that goes through the strait. What? So charge a toll, 20%, what? The U.S. military is bragging that something like 15 to 20 tankers went through the Strait of Hormuz with some number of million barrels of oil. Turns out those were all with Iran's permission. So that's not a, quote, opening of the Strait of Hormuz. And so the number of ships that sailed through the strait in the 24 hours before I'm recording this was only 3. So nowhere near the 100 plus that we need per day in order to restore the flow of oil and natural gas and everything else. So, by the way, here's a video of Lindsey Graham stating the things that I just attributed to him. Here he is saying them himself.
Let's try a diplomatic solution. I think it's going to fail. What happens next? I spent 4.5 hours with President Trump Friday. Here's what I think will happen next. If this deal fails, President Trump is going to take the Strait of Hormuz over by force. The United States will control the Strait of Hormuz. We'll charge a fee for all those who go through to pay for the operation. And we're going to expand the Abraham Accords in calendar year 2026. We're going to get Saudi Arabia to join the Abraham Accords, and which is the biggest change in 5,000 years in the Mideast. And if Iran contests control of the Strait of Hormuz by the United States, we will obliterate them. So to all the people listening, if this diplomatic effort fails, President Trump is going to take the Strait of Hormuz. Yeah. We're going to run it. We're going to try to get Saudi Arabia to join the Abraham Accords to end the Arab-Israeli conflict in 2026. And if Iran continues to attack Israel and Lebanon, the new policy will be we'll hit Iran. So to the Iranians, if you're listening, when you use Hezbollah to attack Israel, I think the new policy will be we will attack Iran.
Wow. So he says the U.S. is going to take the Strait of Hormuz. Okay. Didn't we already try that for the last 3+ months, almost 4 months, right? Hasn't it been almost 4 months now? It's coming up on that. Trump tweeted out over the weekend, U.S. could become the guardian angel of the Strait of Hormuz. Really? And take 20% of the oil, he said. We may take over the Strait if we have to. I'll blow the shit out of them. If they don't make a deal, we'll collect tolls. And that's according to, his appearance on Fox News. So, what? So, wait a minute. Now, Trump is saying, we're gonna collect the tolls. The U.S. is going to take 20% of the oil. We're going to control the strait, and we're going to collect the tolls. This is why observers watching this are concluding that Trump has lost his freaking mind, that he's just gone utterly insane, or he's like late stage dementia or something is going on. But again, there's an alternative explanation, which is what I'm offering here, is that Trump is trying to create a big emergency. He's trying to create, fuel scarcity, food scarcity, for the reasons I've mentioned here, to invoke the Defense Production Act and the NDAA and so on, maybe even the Stafford Act, right? But let's parse this a little bit more. What does he mean, we may take over the strait if we have to? How? You and what army, in other words? Because you already tried that, and your entire military failed multiple times. Failed. What are you going to try now that you haven't already tried, especially with your Navy practically having run out of munitions at this point? I mean, how many missiles do you really have left? How many air interceptors do you have left? How much food do you have left on the ship? How much, fuel for the non-nuclear ships, etc.? Aren't the sailors getting a little antsy? They've been held much longer than their deployment called for, at least on some of the ships. So how exactly are you going to do this? You and what army? Do you have 500,000 troops ready to land on the beaches like D-Day and storm Iran, and then take over the mountainous region of the south and southwest of Iran? Is that the plan? Because you would need to do that to control the strait. So Trump is back to delusional land, where he thinks that we can do anything we want because we're the United States, we're the strongest in the world, blah, blah, blah. But none of it actually adds up. He said, quote, if they don't make a deal, we'll collect tolls. How? So, by the way, in making this threat, Trump has already violated the very first paragraph of the Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU, which says that countries shall, quote, refrain from the threat or use of force against each other. it only took a few days for Trump to violate that, which, again, tells you he's either, one, totally bonkers, crazy, insane, or two, he's doing this on purpose. Now, I talked to Michael Yon. He says, for sure, Trump's doing this on purpose. Trump is trying to cause scarcity. He's trying to cause, you know, energy scarcity as well as food scarcity. And the whole point of this is, of course, well, like I'm talking about here, to have a much bigger emergency. What's astonishing to me is that oil prices plunged on Friday because Trump manages to keep this divergence in place between reality versus market expectations. So the markets think, oh, this is solved. Oil's going to be flowing again. Oil prices should be low. You know, this is all great news. That's what the markets think. In reality, there is no deal. The MOU is already thrown out the window. Trump is already threatening to bomb Iran, and so is Senator Graham. Trump's saying, we're going to charge a toll, we're going to take over the oil, we're going to take over the strait, etc. So none of that has been factored into the price of oil. None of it. Which means there's probably, I mean, don't take this as investment advice, but there's probably a massive opportunity to go long on oil because it's very hard to see how oil doesn't go above $150 a barrel at some point here, like within a couple of months. Which means oil is probably going to double from where it is right now. Now, again, don't place bets on that. I'm not, because the situation is too volatile and too insane. And Trump can always manipulate it to the downside by announcing peace that isn't real. And Trump even admitted that in one of his interviews. I don't have the clip, but he even admitted it, that every time he says something good, the markets love it. Every time he talks about peace, the markets love it. So he wants to keep the markets in the green. He wants to keep, you know, stock prices going up and oil prices low. So he keeps saying there's great news, but in reality, there's never any good news. In reality, Trump is clearly, you know, all in with war here. And if anything, he's accelerating the escalation at this point. So if Trump thinks that America is going to collect tolls in the strait, then you have to assume that he thinks that we can control the strait. And there's just no realistic way that's going to happen anywhere in the real world outside of his head. Unless, I don't know, is he threatening to use nuclear weapons against Iran? Because that's what some of the lunatic Zionists, they seem to be calling for nuclear weapons, right? And if this goes nuclear, then what does Russia do? What does China do? What does Pakistan do? See, the whole world has been trying to pull peace together here, except not the United States and not Israel. Everybody else in the world wants peace. Everybody else wants the oil to flow. They want the gas to flow. Israel wants the world to burn, and Trump wants to go down in history as not just the worst U.S. president ever in history, but the worst national leader of all time, spanning all centuries and millennia long before the United States of America. Trump wants to go down in history as the lunatic that started World War III that ended human civilization as we know it. That's a far worse failure than Herbert Hoover. Meanwhile, did you know that in Qatar, at the Ras Laffan gas facility, where already 2 out of the 14 LNG trains were destroyed with a up to 5-year repair time. Well, there's been a new explosion there. We don't know exactly what's exploded, but it's massive. It's on fire. Probably a couple more trains have been blown up there. I'm just guessing. And Israel is blaming Iran. Probably Israel pulled this off. You know, this is probably a false flag to blame Iran. Almost certainly, because that's their specialty. So things are blowing up in Qatar. Trump is threatening Iran again. Trump doesn't seem to remember anything that he signed just a few days ago. And as a result, the war is back on. The war is back on. Meanwhile, Trump is bragging on social media that the Strait of Hormuz is open. and that he opened it. He's the reason it's closed, and it's not open. It's still closed. It was open before Trump launched the war, of course, and now it's closed, and it looks like it's going to remain closed, potentially for months to come. So, the upshot here, the bottom line, is that you should be prepared. I mean, all of us should be for this game. I mean, I don't even know how much more I can keep covering this because it's maddening. It's Groundhog Day every day. It's the same thing every single day. I don't know how much more I can cover it because we're stuck in a, you know, in a time loop, like I reported a couple of weeks ago. This is loop number 41, I think. So, you know, we're in a endless time loop. We're told there's peace, and then there's war, and then there's peace, and then there's war, over and over and over again. This probably doesn't end anytime this year. Probably. And I know everybody wants to be optimistic, and every time Trump announces a peace deal, people think, oh, it's finally peace, you know? And it never is. It's all a lie. But I understand that it's very convincing. You know, people want to be optimistic and they want to think that the future is going to be great. Yeah, probably not. You're probably going to face fuel rationing, maybe even food rationing if this gets worse. Certainly in some areas, it's going to get very bad, obviously. And our president is either insane or malicious. You know, he's either doing this on purpose or doing it accidentally. Either way, it's bad news. And I don't see an exit. I mean, the only shot we had was the one that he just threw away. The most recent memorandum was that was the way off this roller coaster. And Trump apparently has, you know, just decided to throw that away. So where this goes from here is almost certainly going to get worse and worse and worse. And that reemphasizes the importance of preparedness. So let me give you the resources and partners and sponsors here. Of course, the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. Not only do they have the sat phones, they've got the power stations. They've got the solar panels. They have the Faraday bags and so much more, plus a satellite phone when you need that because, well, if the power grid's down, the sat phone still works. For food and iodine and other supplies, visit our store, healthrangerstore.com. And there, you know, you can get backup certified organic, lab-tested food supplies, nutritional supplements, superfoods, personal care, ultra-clean, formulated with by far the best ingredients imaginable. Seriously, read the labels, you'll see. No synthetic fragrance, no toxic garbage chemicals, no GMOs in the formulations at all. So check it out, healthrangerstore.com. On top of that, of course, you can follow my interviews and my broadcasts, my podcasts, and more at brightvideos.com. And I'm going to be demonstrating more solar infrastructure setups. I've made a lot of progress, actually, setting up systems myself. And now I have to show it to you, which means I have to set it up in the studio. But I'm going to be doing that. I've got some interviews coming up, some guests coming in studio. We're going to be doing some pretty amazing things in studio to show you a solar setup. We're going to be charging Teslas from the studio. And yeah, it's crazy. Now, four of my employees have now bought Teslas. It was only two, like 10 days ago. Now it's four. Like my parking lot of my company is becoming a Tesla parking lot because like Tesla should pay me a commission or something. You know what I mean? Because I've sold so many Teslas just by mentioning the importance of being able to charge your own car with sunlight using solar panels in a little power station. Nobody trusts the supply of gas and diesel anymore. That's why people are trading in their combustion engine vehicles for Teslas. I'll cover that in another podcast, but that's happening. Really wild. I will keep you posted. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, brightvideos.com and naturalnews.com. Take care. Right now, more than ever, it's critical to eliminate counterparty risk. That's my belief. And don't take this as financial advice because I'm not your financial advisor. But when you want
physical gold and silver in your hands, or vaulted, professionally vaulted, insured, high security vault, et cetera, that eliminates that counterparty risk, which I think is an extreme risk right now. I think banks are going to fail and we're going to have bank bail-ins. The currency is failing every day, you know, kind of little by little because of all the money printing and the valuation erosion that's accelerating. Also because of what's happening in the Middle East, more and more countries are agreeing to sell oil in currencies other than the dollar. And the only way that treasury yields are kept low is by the Fed printing money and buying our own debt, because there aren't enough international buyers to buy our debt anymore. So our country's like a snake eating its own tail financially. It's buying its own debt, and this is going to end badly. And when it does, in my opinion, those who hold dollars, even in bank accounts or in the stock market or whatever, they're going to be devastated by the losses. Gold and silver are the best way, in my opinion, to preserve your assets and make it through the coming storm. And the best place to get gold and silver is a company I've been working with, the original founders of the group, for 6 or 7 years now. Today it's called Battalion Metals, and you can reach them at metalswithmike.com. And the reason it's called Battalion Metals now is because they did a joint venture with Tucker Carlson. So Tucker Carlson is the co-founder of Battalion Metals. It's the same group I've worked with for years. And let me tell you about these people. They are pro-freedom, pro-liberty, pro-Ron Paul type of people. They respect your privacy. They understand the importance of your security, your privacy, and the importance of giving you gold and silver at the best possible competitive prices. So there's no bait and switch. There's no, you know, rigging. There's no weird coins like, here, have this 1.5 ounce thing that nobody knows what it is. They don't play games. Otherwise, I wouldn't promote them. This is the same company, metalswithmike.com, Battalion Metals. This is the same group that I recommend to my family, to my friends, and that I use myself. And I stack gold and silver every month, just a certain amount every month, and I have it vaulted with their vaults because I know I can trust them, because they're professionals. They're high integrity people. They're not fly by night. They are the kind of people that you can trust. Again, otherwise I wouldn't even be associated with them. So when you want to get gold and silver in your hands and eliminate that counterparty risk, this is the way to do it. Just go to metalswithmike.com. You can see the prices right there online in real time at Battalion Metals, or you can schedule a call with them. Just use this button right here, schedule a call. And they are trustworthy, high integrity, knowledgeable people who can help you devise a strategy that's suitable for you. Just remember, I'm not your financial advisor. I can't give you an investment strategy personalized for you. You need to do that yourself with your own advisors. You can talk with Battalion Metals and they can help give you a lot of information and some planning as well. But make the best decision for you. And you're going to make it through this. You'll make it through the storm, even as other people lose the value of their dollars or their other investments. Gold and silver will make it through. And right now, in my opinion, gold and silver are still at an incredible buying opportunity in terms of price compared to where they're going to be represented in dollars in the near future. That's my opinion. Do your own research. Do what's best for you. And check it all out at metalswithmike.com. So thanks for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you all. Take care.